This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Today, we talk about the Fish of Roseburg, the Fish Food Pantry. David Graham, the executive director, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me again.
So, kind of give us an update on how things are going overall for fish.
Well, you know, we're wrapping up actually our fiscal year end of this month, and we're kind of in that counterintuitive world where if things are kind of bad out in the outside world and our business is good, we get a lot more demand. So that's really what's been happening. We've seen a tracking up of demand and needs for our community. Our numbers have been going up 20% to 30% a month.
Any idea what's causing that?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. Certainly some of the state benefits and programs have either ended or have adjusted, changed for the new fiscal years. There's just that tendency now post-COVID where people are starting to get out more and actually reaching out more for need. And just the economy itself just hasn't been really firing up the way it should be. So,
and, of course, some of the pandemic-related benefits ended altogether.
Yes.
And that's just rolled out in the last month or so. So that's probably kind of impacting things too.
Oh, yes.
So talk about, somebody asked me this the other day, where do you get food? What are all your sources for food?
So we have multiple outlets to try to draw food into us. Of course, we're entirely donation-based. Some of the food, I'd say about 30% of it comes through UCAN, which is the overarching warehouse wholesale operation for all of the various pantries and charity operations around Douglas County. So we'll receive through them government commodities, donations that they receive, large quantities of items that they'll get in and they distribute out to all of us. Beyond that, then we have our standard donations, which are people off the street coming in, delivering product that they'd like to donate to us, or cash that they'll donate to us. Those benefits, again, the cash goes towards purchasing that we'll have to do. And, of course, the Green Bag Program, which is a huge component for us right now, and that is around 12 to 13 tons of food on a bi-monthly basis that comes in from the community at large.
Now, you just had that last Saturday. How did things go this time?
Again, a great turnout. We're so blessed here in Roseburg for the quality and quantity of people that are willing to do donations and give to us. We're still running the numbers, but we're close to 13 tons of food that came in this last green bag delivery. So
talk about how that works on these Saturdays when you have that every couple months.
Well, essentially what will happen is again, that's bi-monthly. Everybody in the area that has a green bag will put their bag full of groceries or items that they've purchased. They'll put that bag out on their patio or porch, and then our neighborhood coordinators will drive by. They'll pick those up, and they bring them over to us. And they sort of come in waves. We'll have cars just loaded up with 30 to 40 bags of groceries. They'll come up to us. We sort of set up all outdoors so we can handle the traffic. And then we have a whole set of volunteers. We just pull them in, bring all that groceries back into the warehouse, and then we have another team that sorts those out. And then through the rest of the month, we got to start distributing that to our groceries, and they go out to the people in need.
How many of these neighborhood coordinators do you have?
Right now we're sitting at about 60 that handle around 600 outside neighbors, people that have the green bags.
Wow. And has that gone up in the last few years?
It goes up consistently. We see, you know, every time, especially if I get a chance on the radio, talk a little bit about it, that we get some interest and a push. We've been seeing an increase by 5 to 7% on a monthly basis for people that are interested in or willing to take on the Green Bag Program.
And the idea originally was that a lot of folks would, just as they went to the store each week or whatever, get a few extra items and slowly add to it and fill the bag out. There are other people like me who don't seem to do it that way anymore and actually make a special trip to the store just to do that. I reached out to you last week because my wife reminded me that was coming up. And I asked about particular things that you were in need of, and the list was pretty interesting.
Well, you know, it fluctuates, obviously, over time, and depending on what we're seeing. getting in from other resources, but in large part, things that we're always in need of. Peanut butter is a great example. That's a protein that people really enjoy. We can get a lot of that. Soups, canned items like canned corn, some vegetables, rice at times. It all depends really on what's happening, but those are the sort of substantial staples that people will always need and we always could get.
And you mentioned this time around garbanzo beans, which honestly I never would have thought of.
Exactly. You know, we'll go through times when we have 50 to 60 cases of a particular item, and as we go through that, we work our way down. That item is replenished. We don't find it. Somebody's not donating those. So this is where what we try to do is towards the end of that second month when the green bag program is just about to kick in, we do put a little an outlet to all our neighborhood coordinators to say, here's some things that we would really love to have. And what's fascinating is this time was peanut butter was one of those big issues, and we put out a little email out to all of our neighborhood coordinators, and again the response we get is incredible. We ended up with I think a count ended up right now around 715 cans of peanut butter that came in from that one request. So
wow. And I actually got a couple. I got one crunchy, one creamy, because
there you go.
People like both, and that's also one I probably wouldn't have thought of. And I know I happened to reach out to you because we were setting up this interview, but for the neighborhood coordinators to let people know, that really lets you stay, lets the people that are trying to help you stay in tune with what you need, and even sometimes other items like diapers.
Well, absolutely. Non-food items oftentimes are in need. Small bottles of shampoo, things that you wouldn't think of, but if we are talking about people that have an emergency, we have a family that lost their house, they lost pretty much everything. So we happen to have several of those items that they needed, shampoo, toothpaste, toothbrushes. They'll get other things and supplies from, say, the Salvation Army or other charities, but here those items come to us. It's a great thing we're able to offer.
How do people get signed up for the Green Bag Project?
A couple of ways. They can call us directly at the office. They can go online, both on a Facebook page. We have a Roseburg Food Project on the Facebook page, as well as on our website. Then it's a real simple process. It just asks you to put in your information, address, name, phone numbers, and all that you're interested in the project, and we'll get our team to contact you.
As the need goes up, are you seeing some of the folks coming in first-timers or close to first-timers?
You know, quite a number of them, actually. We've seen that's really where our increase is happening, is that 20% are either people who have not been with us for, say, a year or more, or brand new to the system and are really just coming in because they have that emergency need. They want to get through this next couple of months, and this is where they'll come to.
Now, your executive director, beyond you, are there any other staff?
In paid employment, I've got two people. I've got a warehouseman who does some part-time work with us, and I have an office manager, Bella, who is also part-time, but she is on my pay team. So the three of us are the ones that try to keep all the vehicle moving forward, and then we have, as I say, over 700 volunteers in general that help us keep things rolling.
And along with the Green Bag Project, what are other things that you use volunteers for?
Well, every day that we are open, we need volunteers that we have to staff the warehouse, the pantry itself, bring people in. I've got staff that do office work for us. So we have an accountant and bookkeeper. All of those are volunteered positions, people that just want to do this out of generosity of their heart, and they know this is a good cause.
And you've got a board as well. Talk about that.
Yes, I have 14 people on my board. They are in large part representing the six churches that essentially started or established the Fish Food Pantry back 50 years ago. And from them, they are, again, all volunteers. They provide the guidance and assure that I'm following the mandates and the things that we need to be doing to make sure that we are doing what our role was supposed to be, which is that emergency food care.
Now, you mentioned 50 years. Remind me, is that this year?
It was last year.
Last
now
year,
we're on
okay.
51, yes.
Wow. Amazing, because so many nonprofit organizations don't make it even half that long.
No. We've been again, blessed with both the generosity that this community has, as well as just the strength of the people that have, before me, really kept this operation rolling.
All right, back with more with David Graham when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. David Littlejohn with KQE and Local Talk at 4 with True Wealth Radio. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the Summer Arts Festival with Umpqua Valley Arts Executive Director of UVA, Emily Brandt, and Sarah Holborough, the Outreach Director. We'll talk about that event, which is less than 2 weeks away. David Graham in here now from the Fish Food Pantry of Roseburg. You talked about how you're set up and the increase in need right now. What about the qualifications? Some might wonder what it takes to qualify for getting assistance, because every different food pantry are set up a little differently.
Well, everyone is essentially more or less independent in the way they set up their own programs. But if you are working with the USDA in the commodity program, there are some strictures and limitations that they impose on us. And that's where the funding or the pricing comes from for the structures. So it is pretty broad range, though, for us. We accept or allow anyone that has a need to come in and receive groceries from us. So it can be anybody that's lost a job and you're out of work for a couple of weeks, don't have you have a lot of different things coming on, and there's bills to pay, and you have a choice between paying a bill and buying groceries. Those the people that we'll try to reach out to. The limitations on pricing essentially mean that if you're a family of four and you're making less than $60,000 a year, you're qualified. If it's a family of five, it's $80,000. So it goes up pretty substantially. We have had, and we do still do have, middle income families that come in. The idea being that it's a stopgap. If you are without money for a month and just need to have something to get tide you over, get those groceries, that's what we're here for.
And sometimes people that even, are maybe on the higher end of those numbers that you talked about have something come in where they've got, a big medical bill to pay or whatever.
Precisely.
And they've got to somehow carve that out and find money to get food, but they also have to pay this other large bill.
Well, and that's just it. We are, a lot of people think of us as sort of a long-term cure for people that are chronically short of cash. But really, we find about 30 to 40% of our people are ones that come in. They'll utilize our services for 1 or 2 months at a time, and then we won't see them again. Or they'll come back maybe once every year when there's an annual pressure that happens at one particular point in time. They need to have that that bridge, and there we are for them.
Well, and also you have some people that, based on the type of career they're in, maybe they're off for a couple months just because of what the type of job is.
Yeah, isn't that with the gig economies that we have now, where you might be running two or three different things and you end up with a shortage? We want people to understand that's where they can look to us, and they can always come by and ask us. We'll accommodate nearly anyone that needs.
Now, you're out on the nonprofit campus just north of Costco, and I saw you put some pictures up last week, a little building project going on. Tell us about that.
Yes, we're starting finally a shed or a storage area on the backside of our warehouse. We've reached a criticality where that warehouse is beautiful. It's large. It holds a lot of food, but we could better serve our community if I was able to get in larger quantities. So this shed is going to basically take all of our non-essential items out of the way of our warehouse. Buys me about another 300 to 500 square feet of a storage space, which allows me to bring in a couple more tons worth of food.
So not super big, but still an improvement.
A need. For every square foot, you're looking at probably about 8 to 10 more families that we're able to service. So it helps.
I was out there a few months back and looking around, and I'm fascinated just by the logistics of how you and the volunteers keep things organized, because that's got to be a lot of work.
Well, it's, when you're looking at the volume that we do, we pass through our warehouse about 12,000 pounds of food every month. So that's the amount that we have to flow out to our customers and our needed people. To do that is just, there's a lot of juggling. So you're constantly bringing product in, constantly rotating that product that's there, and continually watching downstream where you're going to be short and where you're going to need those extra items.
Well, and for instance, if somebody's in and is looking for rice, it's probably helpful if all the rice is together.
Yeah, it does. It pays off greatly to have those volunteers that are here, because organization is key. If you don't know where things are, you're not going to find them.
Well, and I have enough trouble finding things in my own kitchen sometimes, and there's not that much extra food sitting around. So just when you think about that volume, without a lot of organization and constant monitoring, you would just have a mess fairly quickly.
Well, I'm blessed with a great warehouseman, and again, these incredible volunteers. It is critical for us, and it's a key to our success. So.
Now, is fish connected? You mentioned getting some help from Feeding Umpqua, but are you connected with, is there like a network of food pantries around the state?
There's a collegiate sort of grouping of nonprofits and charities. None of us though are interconnected in any kind of business sense. Everybody has their own boards. Everyone is pretty independent to create their needs specific for both their role as well as their areas wherever they might be serving. So, although I have a lot of colleagues and it's great to be able to communicate with them, it's mostly on a compatriot level where if they have a need or something I might be able to help them fill in, then that's where I'll be able to do that, but not necessarily in a way that we actually know or work with what they're doing day to day.
So more kind of on just a friendship level and not an actual professional connection point.
Yeah.
And you've been doing this for how long now?
This is I'm going now on a year and 5 months. It's been just a great great turn for me. I love the area, and I love this operation. And every day you find a reason to be happy with what you're doing here.
You know, you came in right in the midst of a mid-pandemic. What's it like now versus then?
Well, again, what is interesting is once those support levels of the state and the federal government went away, all those people that were reliant on them now suddenly had nothing to support them. So, as I say, we've just seen it grow and grow. I expect that this year we'll probably finish up probably about 35% higher than we did last year, just in the numbers of people that we'll be able to service.
And a difference in the shopping experience for those who come for help.
Oh, absolutely. The whole thing about being able to come in and essentially grocery shop for yourself. We look very much like an open-air market, and you have the dignity of being able to go through, pick the items that you would like, the amounts that you want to have. It makes a huge difference from that versus having to wait outside for us to sort and select and then pass through to a box of food.
Yeah, and during the pandemic with that shift, I'm sure that was kind of a difficult experience.
I think for the clients, it was disorienting a bit. And again, if you're not aware quite of what you're getting, it sometimes is a matter of, well, you come home and there's five things that you either can't use or you're allergic to, and all of a sudden you're wondering, gosh, what do I have to do with those? This style, this system that we have now is dramatically better.
And it assures that all the food gets used by the people that get it.
In large part. We tell people, take anything that you need just as much as you want and not any more than you need, because that is where this whole role of us as that short-term stopgap, that's where we are.
Talk about the DoorDash assistance you've been getting for the past year or so.
So, yeah, we're actually celebrating our 1 year with this DoorDash Project Dash program, and it has proved to be an incredible assistance to us. I think it's opened up a whole new area. So where we have all the people that can come down to us physically, go through our shopping, and have the ability then to take that all back home, there was a number of people that were in the shadows that just simply couldn't do that. They, for any reasons, didn't have a car or housebound. found injured or sick or inhabilitated and unable to come down. We started this DoorDash program where what happens now is people can call us. They give us a rundown from them as to what their needs are, where they live. We set that all up, send it up to DoorDash. The DoorDash driver then comes to us, picks up our emergency food box, and we'll deliver that out to the customer. It doesn't cost the customer a dime. It is a great service, and DoorDash has been a great partner in sort of developing this idea. We now service probably about 70 to 75 people a month that otherwise would not have that opportunity.
Wow. And that's a national program with DoorDash, right?
It is. They piloted it out last year, and this is the first full-on year they're doing it. They're striving to get it into larger urban areas, and we're working with them kind of as a role model, as an example of how it can work successfully.
All right. David Graham of the Fish Food Pantry in Roseburg, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.